God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 20th day of March, 2011, and you're listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. This morning's sermon is taught by our pastor as he continues his Focus on the Family series for March. It is entitled, Following After Biblical Sexuality for the Family. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Amen. You can be seated. We always take just a time of prayer to prepare our hearts for what the Lord is doing. And this month, as we mentioned, we're going through a series on choosing the family and just evaluating some needs in our family. Last week we talked about, and really all month, establishing biblical standards, having some standards in our home. And, of course, that's a pretty broad topic, so we've broken it down in three areas. Last week, we talked about how essential it was to have separation. And I tell you, you can put a lot of effort into your family, but if you allow certain influences to come in that are not godly and biblical, it can destroy everything you've tried to build. You know, except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. And so we talked about having some standards of separation. Today can be a touchy topic, but it's not. The Bible addresses it. There's another big problem in our families today, and that is dealing with sexuality, and we're going to hit that today. So ushers, lock the doors. Don't let anybody out. Now that we've announced it, oh, no. But as it's a prevalent problem all over the world, and a lot of times we don't like to address it or talk about it, sensitive. But I realize, you know what? The fact of the matter is it's talked about every day in our culture in a negative way. And we need to have good biblical direction on the way we're supposed to be going and what we're supposed to be doing. So we're going to address that today. I think it's important for our homes. And then next week, Lord willing, spirituality and just the absence of spirituality in our homes today and how to get that back and get it going strong. And so three key areas that we need to really establish some stronger standards in our home. So let's pray. Ask the Lord to open our hearts today as we receive his word. Lord, we come to you now. We are believers, Christians, Lord. Our responsibility is to follow you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help our homes to be stronger. Lord, our homes are under attack every single day, Lord. Homes are under attack. Lord, even the last couple of weeks, Lord, we've heard rumors of divorce, separation, and not just rumors, Lord, actually taking place. Just so many problems happening. And, Lord, it can go back to the fact that biblical standards aren't being followed, Lord, in the home and by one or both or whatever the scenario. But what we do know, Lord, is you love us. You love our family. You want strong families, and you give us direction on how to attain that. So open up our hearts, mind, and eyes, Lord, remove the pride. Allow us to receive your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Almighty God, great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home again, lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, son, do you know I still love you? He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart.
I wondered then if things would ever be the same.
Then one night I remembered his love for me.
Down a dusty road ahead I could see.
It was the only time, the only time I ever saw him run, was when he ran to me.
He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?"
He caught me by surprise, and it brought me to my knees when God ran. I saw him run to me.
I was so ashamed, all alone and so far away. But now I know that he's been waiting for this day.
When God ran to me,
he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?"
When God
ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He ran to me. He ran to me. He ran to me.
This topic today will probably hit all of us. We're talking about sexuality and the importance of it. And I want to do a little bit of thoughts at the front here. First of all, I'd like to defend the church, if you don't mind. I hear authors every once in a while saying, you know, where's the church standing up on moral issues? Let me help you. The church hasn't changed its stand on moral issues, okay? We don't ever plan on changing. No, we don't stand up every single Sunday and preach on it. Why? We preach the whole counsel of God. As we hit it, we're not afraid of it. We're not ashamed of it. We're going to preach it. You say, but what if there's a whole bunch of people messing up? Aren't they going to feel bad? They should. Yeah, that's why we preach it. It helps us to repent and turn back to God. So just because a lot of people may be involved in something wrong doesn't mean we ignore it. We code it over. We don't have a problem with that. But at the same time, I want to defend the church because I just hear people saying and writing, you know, where are the preachers standing up against this? And they're all over the place standing up against it, okay? The fact of the matter is people aren't listening. And that's the problem. It's not an issue of it not being preached. So I know there's corners that's not being preached. I understand that. I know there's places you're never going to hear it in certain pulpits. We get that. But in fundamental Baptist churches, oh, you'll hear it. Okay? And a lot of other Baptist churches, you'll hear it. You'll hear it very strong. The key, though, is we've got to start responding to what God says. And this that we're going to cover is so important. As I counsel throughout the years, we notice over and over this is a major problem in our families. No debate. You know, sexual sins continue to grow. It's not like they've diminished. There are some good stats. Recent stat in the last couple of weeks, young people, now about 30% of them are remaining abstinent until the age of 20. That's a big shock. And praise the Lord. And so that stat has increased, which is really good. And so for people to say, well, everybody's doing it, preacher, actually, no, they're not. Praise God. Now, the stats after that is what gets amazing. After 20, about 95% get involved in immorality. And in other words, they have sexual contact before marriage. That's a little bit more surprising. You'd think the older crowd would be a little smarter. Okay, we talk about the foolishness of youth, but often as we get older, sometimes we lose those grounds of faith. We need to reestablish those. Now, I'm not here to attack everybody. I'm not here to attack anybody. But I believe if we're messed up in an area, all you can do is start where you're at. I can't do anything about yesterday, last week, or last month, okay? But we can do something about today, amen? And we can say, hey, if I'm messed up in an area, if I'm going a direction God has said no, why not admit it, confess it, get up, and start doing right, okay? And let God forgive the past and start going forward. Why? It's important in our lives. Very important. 60 Minutes did a special. And matter of fact, I was looking this up, and I typed in sex in America, which is fine, except my secretary walked around the corner. Which was no big deal. I didn't think, but I'm signing something. I look at my screen, and it was just the top. I said, let me explain. Aaron, let me show you what's happening. I thought, that'd probably be bad. She goes to her office. Why is the pastor looking that up? But I was looking up an article on 60 Minutes that explained it, and it said selling sex is one of the oldest businesses in the world, and right now it said business has never been better. Over $10 billion. $10 billion. As much that is spent on sporting events, feeding our animals, is spent on pornography and everything that goes with it. It is a plague in our society. Let's just be honest. I don't have to give a lot of stats. Oh, I looked up a whole bunch of stuff, and then finally I stopped and said, what's the use? If the stats are true, everybody's aware of this problem, okay? I don't have to convince everybody there's a problem in our world, okay? So rather than going that route and giving all these stats, facts, and figures and everything, I thought, why not just open the Bible? And let's go to 1 Corinthians 7 and find out what the Bible says about sexuality in the home. I think what a benefit it will be to hone in where we ought to be. So let's stand as we give honor to God's word. We're going to back up to chapter 6. If you're in chapter 7, we're going to back up a little bit. Preached on this a few weeks ago, but it lays a really good foundation. In verse 15, it says, "Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? May I remind you, we belong to Jesus Christ." Okay? He goes on to say, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And then verse 18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now he continues. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. In other words, they wrote to Paul asking some questions. Concerning what you wrote unto me, he said, let me answer. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Let the woman render unto the wife due benevolence. Likewise, also the wife unto the husband. You notice the terminology here? I mean, just real simple fact. Notice it was men, you have a wife. Wife, you have a husband. You notice it didn't say men, you have a man. Women, you have a woman. Did you catch that? That was free. Verse 4. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, and one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Lord, we come to now, we pray that we would truly have a biblical perspective on sexuality, intimacy inside of our lives, especially marriage. That, Lord, we no longer accept the world's philosophies and thought patterns, but Lord, we would accept yours. For Lord, you want good for us. You want the best for us. Your plan is not to deprive us or to hurt us, but is designed, Lord, to make us more fulfilled and happier than we could ever be the world's way. Lord, forgive us for our failures. Forgive us for, like the church in Corinth, Lord, so many were caught up in fornication, immorality. And Lord, in America, it's the same way. So Lord, may we go back to the truth, go back to purity and holiness in the moral way that we might honor you and our lives would be better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I prayed, I'll be honest with you. All my study has shown God's way is the best way. It's amazing when you follow God's way, you don't miss out. If we can use this terminology, you make out better than you can ever imagine. You say, what are you saying? I mean, it is more satisfying to do it God's way than any other way. Our world is a mess because we don't do it God's way. And we're going to discuss that. As we look at it, though, the premise is our bodies belong to God. Thus, we ought to follow what God says about our bodies. One of the big areas deals with morality. To begin, he begins in verse 1 of chapter 7. We'll begin breaking it down. And I like to begin where he began. He says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, I know that's been interpreted in a lot of different ways. In context, you say, preacher, what's that mean? Should I never, ever touch a woman? And I've heard it said this way. I shouldn't hold hands, can't put my arm around her. That's not really the context here. What the context is, Paul's saying, it's good not to be married. You say, what do you mean? Well, he starts out and he says this. And let me just help you. Point number one, it's okay to be single. Those of you that are single, it's okay. We have widows here. We have people who have never been married. We have people divorced, not married. Hey, can I help you? It's okay to be single. Our world tells you you have to be married. I don't know how many young people, as soon as they hit like 20, 21, we're like, are you married? Yeah, are you married? By the time they're 25, if you're a woman, I feel so sorry for you. Most of the world thinks you've missed it. You now will be a widow the rest of your life, even though you've never been married. What's the old term? The Spencer. You know, you're going to be just that way the rest of your life. Oh, you've ruined it. No, you haven't. Same with guys. Hey, it'd probably do us all a lot of good to wait before we get married. I got married very young, but I was mature and wise and I was ready. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. And I hear all the arguments, but this I know. It's good to be single. Why? Women are evil. Oh, yeah. But hang on. Men are jerks. I'm going to write a book. Yeah. I know there's one out. Men are from Mars, women from Venus, or the reverse. I'm going to write one. Men are jerks, women are evil. You know, go for that. But it's true. I mean, the impact of a marriage affects us in so many ways. And so the apostle comes down, and he says, it's okay. Now the argument was this. Some believe that you should never, ever marry, and some believe you should never be single. I picked up a couple of the old philosophers. The Greek philosophers, and several of them, Socrates as well, thought that the untractable tempers of women. I'll read that again. The untractable tempers of women. And how troublesome and fraught with danger was the education of children. It was wisdom never to marry. Wow. They actually taught that. And they taught, man, you should never marry because women have bad tempers. And if you dare educate a child, there goes our world. Some philosophers are very dumb. But that's what they were dealing with. So in their time, one group said, oh, man, you have to marry. Don't ever marry. Even churches got involved with it and forbid people to marry. 1 Timothy 4:3, though, Paul said, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. In Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You say, well, wait a minute. Is Paul saying never to marry? No. Paul's saying it's okay not to marry and it's okay to marry. See, how do you know that? Verse 9 that we read as well. Take a look at it. Verse 8 and 9 there, it says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. There is no command never to marry. There is no command that you had to marry. Well, what do? You do what God leads you to do. Basically, marriage is this. When it says in verse 9, you can look at the terminology there. It says, if you can't contain, it is better to marry than to burn. That word burn goes back into lust. If you're going to be caught up in lust, if you're going to be caught up in desire that's going to take you down a bad path, he says, then marry. It's the best thing to do. But if that's not your issue and that's not your problem, hey, stay single. Why? Can I help you? Let's just be honest. You can do more for the Lord single than you can married in a lot of ways. There are responsibilities when you get married you don't have when you're single. I have responsibility to my wife and my kids. They take time. They take money. They take effort. You say, why? That's the responsibility. It's not wrong. It's not unbiblical. But the reality is, when I was single, oh, you had no restrictions on time, events. If you wanted to go soul winning all day, you could. If you wanted to pray all day, read your, well, wonderful. When you got a family, hey, you got to share time with your family. Why? It's biblical. It's biblical. And we're not condemning it. He's just, Paul's saying, hey, that's the reality of it. Women, when you get married, you got a man to take care of. And he's an issue. Men can be needy. Man, as much time as you want to spend with the things of God, that don't always work. Why? Kids pop out. I know. The women keep saying, don't say pop. But it's so easy to say that. Why? It doesn't affect me. It really doesn't. Except for the hate mail that I get. But anyways, you got a child. Man, they want your attention. You know, especially when you have new kids. What? You don't sleep for, what, 4 months? You know, praying your prayers while you're rocking them. Lord, make them go to sleep. Lord, make them go to sleep. Lord, knock them out. I mean, that's your prayer time, you know. Bible study? Yeah. You know, if you can prop it up somehow. I mean, you're just limited. You can't serve in the church that much. That's reality. It's not that you hate God. In other words, things take our time. So what's he saying? Well, to start out, he says, let's stop this arguing. Let's stop this pushing. Hey, if someone's not married, it's okay. It's okay. He even goes on later in the chapter, says, if you've been married and now you're widowed, you can remarry, but sometimes it's better to stay unmarried. Why? You've already had one mess. Why do another one? Could be God freeing you up. That's a whole nother message. Amen. But there's a reality to it. So he just hits reality and says, hey, when he says it's good for a man not to touch a woman, his primary interpretation there is this. Hey, if you don't want to marry, it's okay. And by the way, can I help you? It's okay to wait. I can tell you as a counselor, I remember the days when I was young and couldn't wait to get married. You couldn't wait. I was always afraid the rapture would come and I wouldn't be able to get married. You know, we're going to miss that experience of marriage, intimacy in marriage. I'm going to miss it, Lord. And now I'm 45 years old. You say what? It didn't come. You know, the rapture is still not here. And so a lot of times we rush into things. Now, I've seen couples do that, and they're so excited, and they're married, and they're happy for 3 months or 6 months, and then they're miserable. Why? Because they ignore all these biblical principles, and they rush into a relationship. Hey, don't do that. Marriage, I can tell you, is honorable, and it's wonderful if you do it right. But if you don't do it right, there's a lot of people in here that can tell you it's one of the biggest pains you'll ever experience. And if you want to avoid that, take your time, choose the best that you can, and go forward. You say, but preacher, I already chose, and she was the wrong one. What do I do now? You're stuck for life. Yeah, but I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. Let me just help you be very compassionate. Tough! Why? You chose her. Yeah, but I wasn't thinking straight. Sorry. Yeah, but I don't like her anymore. Sorry. Yeah, but he's a bum. Sorry. Now what? Move on. You're not excited about that. I don't understand that. You say what? You see the problem? The fact of the matter is, if you choose wisely early on, you don't have to mess with a lot of that. But if you chose before you were saved or serving God, let me just help you. Whole nother message, but we don't have a right to check out whenever we want. We have a right to get in God's word and say, God, help us make this work. Now, I'm not foolish. I know it doesn't always work. I know there's all these complications. But I'll tell you this much, from my side of the table that I sit, the majority of time, and I'm talking the majority of the time, it can work. You know why it doesn't work? The Bible says because of the hardness of our hearts, our pride and our wickedness towards the things of God. We choose not to follow, not to listen. And for whatever reason, we walk away. And I'm telling you, it's not a good choice. Now, that's another message in itself. But let me help you. If you're single, Paul says, it's okay to stay single. If you're burning towards another person, you better get married. Why? It's biblical. So he starts out that way, but then he moves on. Why marriage? Well, look at verse 2. So you say, it's good to be single. Sure it is. But why do people marry? And most people, by the way, marry. Well, verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. Fornication. The word fornication is interesting. Fornication comes from our Greek word, porneo, which you know is pornography. It's an interesting genre. And what are you saying there, preacher? Well, people get in a debate about fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, concupiscence, all these big words. Let me help you. The head category for that is this word fornication. Fornication basically covers every single sexual sin outside of the Word of God. Okay, God is pretty wise. When he wrote fornication, he knew what he was doing. He covers adultery. He covered homosexuality. He covered everything in that one word. It is the category, the genre, the main thing. Everything else funnels underneath. He said, listen, this is the way I've designed it. The intimate relationship, are you ready, is a good thing. Did you catch that? I don't know if you've heard that from very many pulpits, but it's a good thing. You know, God designed the intimate relationship. God designed a man and a woman to come together, and it's not evil and it's not wicked. It's good. Why? God created it. The problem is we've messed it up. The problem is we've distorted it. We've made it wicked. And because of that, there's a mess in our families today. God, in his graciousness, said, hey, I've designed this to be a very wonderful thing for a husband and wife, but if you only follow my way. And if you go outside of the bounds of Scripture, which we see so many doing, it creates so many complications. If I had the time to give you story after story of people who have avoided this principle, and every time, not one or two, every time, it's ended up in a mess. The Bible warns often, 1 Corinthians 6:18, we read it said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth sexual sin, fornication, outside of marriage, sinneth against his own body. Folks, we need to get back to abstinence, purity. We need to quit listening to Hollywood. Can I help you? Hollywood's messed up. Yeah. It amazes me. When I taught youth, I always bring this up. I don't know the movie stars' names. I'm sorry. Okay. You see them on TV, so I don't know who the hip person is today, and I know that's not probably a cool word either. But whoever the person is, the most beautiful actress is, and I hate to say names because she's probably dead and gone. But anyways, whoever that is, you put in your mind, beautiful actress. And for the women, put in hunk, you know, sharp guy. Now, I read the news, okay? I don't read the magazines at Walmart, but I do read the news. And every once in a while, even on Fox News, MSN, it'll pop up. This couple has been married for 2 or 3 years. They're divorcing. And they'll show a picture. And it'll be some guy that's filthy rich, good looking, strong, handsome, everything you think a woman wants. And the girl, or woman, beautiful. I mean, she's not ugly. And she's decked out. She's pretty. She's like, you know, whatever you want to call her. She's just a beautiful person or model, whatever. They're married 2 or 3 years and they break up. Excuse me? Wait a minute. Beautiful guy, beautiful woman, lots of money, 2 or 3 years breakup. So they remarry someone else. It lasts 3 or 4 years. What happens? They break up. They remarry someone. Whoa, wait a minute. If beauty was all there was to it, don't you think they would stay together? Can I help you? Hollywood's messed up. They don't have it down pat. It's not just about beauty. And if it was just the intimate relationship that matters, they would never break up. The fact of the matter is, though, in all their movies and all the promotions, they promote that as like the apex of life. You know, that you're missing out. Can I help you? You're not missing out. The fact of the matter is what you're missing out on is a lot of pain. You're missing out on a lot of pain is what you're missing out on. The Bible says avoid fornication. Let me give you three dangers of fornication. Number one, sex outside of God's design. And once again, I want to reiterate, we read in Hebrews, the bed is undefiled. It's a beautiful thing that God designed inside of marriage. But outside of it, it's a miserable thing. Number one, it clouds your decision making. It clouds your decision making. Now, let me help you. Can I tell you why so many people marry wrong? I'm just going to help you as your pastor. How does this guy choose this woman? How does that happen? Hey, stop and think about this. Here's a guy who you think's got some brains to him. And he thinks logical. And he's with some girl and you're looking at this going, that doesn't match up. Why are they together? And they go through the courtship and then they get engaged and then they end up getting married and everybody's scratching their head and behind their back they're saying stuff like, that marriage only lasts about 2 years. That only lasts 5 years. I mean, you hear this. I mean, come on, families, people talk about it all the time. You know, you'll see it in the church going, oh, wow, can't believe they're getting together. Now listen, you say, well, why is he marrying her? Or reverse, why is she with him? There's no way that she should marry him. And people have talked to her and people have mentioned things to her. I mean, there's obvious problems here. You say, why do they do it? Are you ready? They marry because they're already sexually active. I know you think the pastor's an idiot and doesn't know that. You think we're brain dead. No. You see, we've watched enough of this to realize that there's a problem. It's funny, I read an article too on MSN where a lady was telling women 6 reasons why they can't get married. And this is a lost woman. And one of the things she wrote was this exact statement. She said, can I tell you why you're having trouble marrying the right guy? And she said, quit sleeping with him. I said, amen. Let me help you. Amen, preacher. That's a good one. Thank you. Appreciate that. Folks, it's not rocket science. If no one else will be transparent with you, let me help you. Girls, I understand guys like that, but that's reserved for marriage. And I understand they will like you, and they may even pursue you, but can I help you from a guy's standpoint? If you're already giving him that intimacy, why does he have to marry you? Let me just help you as a guy. Why would I want to marry you? I have no reason. There's more people living together today, and you think that's good. I feel so sorry, especially for women, because you don't get it. You don't understand. Most of the time when I talk to young couples living together, the girl's got the steady job. She's praying for most of the things. What's the guy contributing? He gets some intimacy. He gets to lay around the house, and she's hoping they marry one day. And so they do, and it lasts a year, two, 3 years. She comes in crying, going, I don't get it, preacher. What happened? You did it all wrong. You see, intimacy, there's a chemical reaction that happens, and it fakes you out. You see, intimacy was designed for the first year to 2 years of marriage so you'd stay together. You say, why? Because after you got married, ladies, and you realize what he was really like, something's got to keep you together. So the intimate relationship does something funny to your head, and you go, ah, he's wonderful. And that gives you a year and a half, 2 years to work things out, okay? But when you're already intimate ahead of time, and then you get married, it messes with you. I'm just going to help you right now. Listen, I know everyone's looking at me funny, but this is true stuff. I'm telling you how this works. One of the hardest things for me is when I'm counseling our young people and young adults, and I don't ask them, are you guys intimate together? Okay? No, I don't ask them. But I tell you, I can watch and see things taking place and go, let me tell you why you're making the same choice over and over that is wrong and is messing you up. How does someone keep entering into the wrong relationship over and over? Wouldn't you think if a man or a woman entered in a bad relationship and it broke up and divorced, they would choose right the next time? It usually doesn't happen. And let me tell you the problem. Best thing you could do for your sanity's sake is to stay abstinent until marriage. Why? It helps you to think straight. The fact of the matter, the world knows that, and the church ought to know that better than anybody else. And folks, you'll make better decisions that way. Number two, besides that, it defiles your own body. Remember back there in 1 Corinthians 6:18? 1 Corinthians 6:18. We covered this a few weeks ago, but it said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. One author put it this way. The sense is, it wastes the bodily energies, produces feebleness, weakness, and disease. It impairs the strength. It impairs the strength of man and shortens life. You know, this verse has always puzzled me. Because of all that we do, the Bible says of all the sins that we commit, when we commit fornication, it does something to ourselves. And if you really take it in context, this is what it's saying. The more we commit fornication outside of the bounds of marriage that God has designed, we're literally killing ourselves. It's no different than a person taking drugs. It's no different than, you know, these kids do silly things. How many times you hear of kids sniffing paint? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And how many times you hear of it messing up their brain or actually killing some of them? I mean, it blows my mind. I heard not too long ago they were doing this thing, and it's been a while, where kids were choking themselves at home to where they pass out. I can't remember what it's called. That's stupid. And then they had in the news, several of them died because they put the rope on, kicked the chair out, and, oh, gee, no one was there. Went a little far. Now, I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm like, that's dumb. Okay? Now, you and I that are mature would say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would you purposely try to do that? No safety. No, don't make sense. Wait a minute. Can I help you? That's no dumber to me than what the Bible said here, that when we don't follow God's plan morally, we kill ourselves. We kill ourselves. We literally defile ourselves. And not only that, if you take it another step, you don't think straight. You defy yourself, you also defraud somebody else. If you look at it, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, 1 Thessalonians 4, 5 and 6, it says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother, take advantage of his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testified. You say, well, how does that defile someone else? You hurt their conscience. You hurt their conscience. Men, when you push yourself upon a woman, when you're a Christian and you know the Bible says wait, and you make her choose and you play with her emotions and you do that to satisfy yourself, can I just help you? You are hurting her. And you say, how do you know you're hurting her? Again, because I sit on the other side of the table. And I'm talking years later, there's problems from stuff like that. And there's people feeling guilty, and there's women, and all of a sudden, can I tell you what it really affects in the defiling? It affects your marriage relationship. It affects your marriage relationship. You know, I don't have time to go into all this, but because we do it all wrong, it is such a mess. We're going to hit this here in just a minute, but let me just give you a prelude real quick. Fornication hurts me, and fornication hurts you. And it's a sin before Almighty God. And let me tell you how it messes with your mind. Because we've got it backwards today, most men and women are intimate before marriage. Can I tell you what the problem is now? When they get into marriage, they have problems. They have problems. I have to counsel on the other side of the marriage fornication. And it's weird to me how men and women will be very open, very active, before they're married, and then they say, I do, and all the jokes are, well, as soon as you get married, there'll be no more intimacy. Yeah, that's the standing joke. And can I tell you, it shouldn't be that way. Well, why is it that way? Can I tell you, we've so defiled the other people involved that we're actually part of the cause of why it doesn't work good. You say, what do you mean? I'm so glad you asked. Would you look at 1 Corinthians 7? Now, right about now, every man should be pulling out his wallet and writing me a check. I'll meet you right outside. $20 is fine. You see, in this fornication, he's saying it's okay to be single. Verse 2, he condemns fornication, and we could talk for weeks on that. But then he says in verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife and the husband. So, man, gentlemen, I got to tell you this, okay? Men, listen up. Now, I'm sick and tired of this. When your wife wants to be intimate, men, you need to be intimate with her. That's right. The Bible's very clear. Do benevolence unto the wife. You know how many times I've had to say that? Hardly ever in my ministry. Yet it's right there. I have had to say it before, but it is rare, okay? That's normally not a problem with women, okay? I mean, with men. Very few men say, no, I have a headache. You know, just I don't get that a lot. It's happened. I've had them come to the office. Now, I will say this. I've had this happen, and I'm just going to help you. It's not normal. I've had couples come in and say, preacher, we've not been intimate for 6 months. Can I help you? That's wrong. In case you're wondering, if no one's going to tell you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Now, if it's a medical issue, go to the doctor. Talk about it. But I'm just going to tell you right now, that's not normal in a husband-wife relationship. I've seen as much as year, two, 3 years, and they're separated. I'm like, something is wrong in that home. That is not biblical. That is not biblical. So guys, just as she doesn't have a right, you don't have a right. Next part of the verse says, women, look what it says. And likewise, also the wife unto the husband. Now look at verse 4. The wife hath not power of her own body. Remember 2-3 weeks ago, we said our body belongs to who first? God. And then secondly, are you ready? It don't belong to you. It belongs to your spouse if you're married. Okay? My body does not belong to me. My body, when I said I do to my wife, belongs to her. Okay, and vice versa. Guess what? Her body doesn't belong to her. Her body belongs to me. That's what God said. So hang on for the rest of the verses. Are you ready? Verse 5, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? You know, the marriage is supposed to be a very exciting thing. The intimate relationship is supposed to be a honorable, blessing thing. It's supposed to increase the love for another. It's supposed to give you, yes, pleasure and enjoyment and excitement, but it's not. So often, it's a major problem in relationships. And let me tell you a couple reasons why. First of all, number one, we messed up in the dating. We messed up in the pre. So in the prelude to the marriage, we've so messed up, and our conscience is damaged, and we're so hurt, that once we get married, it's like a light bulb clicks on, and this is what we start doing. Most women go, hey, it's my body, I'll do what I want. I can't tell you how often I've heard that. It's my body. He can't tell me what to do. Let me help you. If that's your philosophy, don't get married. Because that's not what the Bible says. The minute you get married, are you ready? You belong to your spouse? Well, yeah, but he's more interested than I am. I understand that. He's a guy. That's why you talk, you communicate. Now, listen, we're not going to go too far with this, so don't get nervous. Some of you are getting really nervous right now. This is Sunday morning church. I'm wise to that, okay? But I am telling you this. It's messed up in our homes today, and it should not be, okay? That area should be something you talk about, you communicate about, and you need to understand something. You and I don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Almighty God. And when you start doing things God's way, it'll change your relationship. So let me help you. Men and women, you have no right, no right, except for this. Now, there is an exception clause. Praise God. Did you read it? You actually can say no to one another. No, you can. Read it, verse 5. Defraud you not one with another, except with consent. So there are times where you consent to say no. So the women are going, great, I just got to get them to consent a lot. Okay? And all you got to do during that time is give yourself to fasting and prayer. You all know what fasting is, do you not? I'm looking out here. Some of you have not fasted in a long time. That's me included, trust me. Okay, what are you saying? How long can you fast? As long as you can fast, then you don't have to be together. I love this part. Otherwise, guess what? If you're not coming together, the rest of the verse says this. You're opening up the door to temptation. And I'm talking temptation both ways. I know we always talk from the guy's side. But guys, if you're not showing proper attention to your wife, who wants and needs your love and affection, because of whatever reason you're mad at her, you're bitter at her, you're busy, let me help you. You open her up for temptation of somebody else showing her attention. The average woman, can I just be honest with you? It's not normally a problem for her. No, seriously. Especially now, we're talking about Christian women. I'm not talking about the world. I realize the world is totally warped right now, so that's a totally different situation. I don't worry about my wife being interested in somebody else. I mean, look who she has. I mean, come on, seriously. I mean, get real. I know, that's how we think, is it not, men? We're warped. Let me help you real quick. That's not why she's staying with you, okay? But God has designed a woman, a godly woman, a Christian woman. We are putting that declaration on it, okay? But a Christian woman, if I show her affection and love, if some other guy comes up and says, hey, baby, she's going to say, really? Really? Could you please? I mean, it's not that you don't like someone saying you look pretty, you look nice. But really, there's going to be no interest there. There's just not going to be an interest. She's going to be flattered and go, oh, someone else thinks I'm pretty. But I don't worry about someone else thinking she's pretty and her running off with them. Okay? It's just not a concern. It's not because she's not pretty. I just understand that aspect of women. She loves me. She loves the family. She wants to stay there. Guys are a little different. We're pretty warped. Okay? And so even though there's that aspect there, ladies, without a doubt, there's no debate. There's more temptation for men. Well, can I just be honest and wise and someone else will talk about it? Sure, preacher, go ahead. Thank you. We are appealed by sight. There's no debate about that. That's why all this sex in America and this pornography, it's a problem. It's a problem in our world because we are appealed to sight. Well, how do we fix that, preacher? Well, I'll be quite honest with you. According to what we just read, one of the best ways is make sure you don't defraud, take advantage of one another by being separate from one another, lest Satan tempt you. One of the best ways to keep temptation out of the home is for each person to give themselves to the other person in God's appropriate way. And then guess what? That becomes a very minor situation. Oh, I'm not foolish. I'm not saying that that's going really good, that somebody can't mess up. But I am saying that's an exception. That's not the norm. Because when you do it God's way, it's interesting how it works. And it's wonderful. And you know what's neat when you do it God's way? Man, you got a pure conscience. You got a wonderful life. You don't have to cover your tracks. You don't have to hide things. You get to enjoy your life, enjoy each other God's way, the way he designed. Now, I'm not foolish. As I prepared this message this week, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to tell them ahead of time what I'm preaching on. Why? There'll be people not show up on purpose. But this I do know, as I began to pray about it and think about it and try to tactfully and appropriately present it in a mixed crowd, I realize this. God's word is true. And God designed the intimate relationship to be a very wonderful thing. It's not dirty. It's not bad. It's a wonderful experience. But when we don't do it God's way, it clouds our thoughts. It messes up our lives. It makes us miserable. And every time we continue to go down that path, we go farther and farther. Are you ready? Away from God. And I'm going to close with this. Are you ready? You can't separate your spirituality and your sexuality. And that's the problem we have today in the church. We have people living a life saying, oh, I'm just so close to God and I'm wonderful. And me and God are like this. And living consistently in a lifestyle that dishonors God. And I'm not just talking about all these adulterers. No, no. I'm talking about men and women in a home who aren't treating each other the way God told them to treat each other. And I'm telling you, are you ready? It will hinder your relationship with Almighty God. No, you're not lost. And he won't kill you. But I'm going to tell you something. It'll separate you and your spouse, which means it'll separate you and God. And you will pay the price for it. But if you work on this and you stay close, oh, there'll be problems. Okay, there's ups and downs. Welcome to life. Okay? What do? You get back to the book. You talk about it. You work it out. You move on. You do it God's way. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy the relationship. It'll be worth it. And you'll come to the end of your days going, isn't God great? You do it what the world's doing, and welcome to mess. Welcome to mess. And you will not enjoy it. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, I know it's a teaching lesson today. Lord, my heart's desire is that we would make sure that we do not stop preaching and teaching the truth of morality, purity, holiness. It is part of who we are as believers. And yet, Lord, this world has taught a totally opposite viewpoint. Many believers, yes, and even many churches, Lord, do not come down hard on fornication, sex outside of marriage. It is overlooked. It is ignored. Yet, Lord, it should not be. As you know, Lord, I have the sad job of counseling this on a continual basis because people fail to get in God's word and just do what it says. Lord, our heart's desire is not to hurt somebody today. There's some people that in their past have made these grave mistakes, Lord, but they've asked for forgiveness and you've forgiven them, Lord, and they've moved on. Lord, don't let Satan attack their minds. Lord, they're now serving you and doing great. Praise God. You've forgiven them. We've forgiven them. All is fine. Lord, the message is designed especially for those that maybe are wavering, maybe involved in pornography, maybe singles that are involved in immorality without being married, that have not thought about the damage it's going to cause them, their spirituality, their marriage. Messages to our young people, Lord, that abstinence is good. It's a protection. Lord, I pray that each person would take it and use it, Lord, in a very special way. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how do you do an invitation? Man, if I come forward, people are going to think something bad. Let me tell you how the invitation is designed this morning. I think the invitation is designed for all of us that we would just make commitments in our heart, whether we are right now, whether we're not, doesn't really matter. But if you are living a pure life, keep doing it. Keep doing it. If you're not, Lord, help me to start today. Help me get on track today and start learning. I think tonight would be a good day just to recommit to morality and purity. Amen. In every aspect. And we can pray for ourselves. Maybe we can pray for others that we know are struggling in this area. Maybe you have some kids struggling in this area. Maybe you got some other people you know that's really messed up in this area and say, Lord, man, we need to pray for them. Or maybe you just need to pray for yourself to say, God, help me to stay true to you. Whatever the need is, I challenge you to come. And I'm going to open up one other area. Definitely, if you're here today, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. We mentioned it early on. The fact of the matter is Jesus is coming back. This world's messed up. You need God. If you don't know how to go to heaven, let us take you to the side, open up the Word in God and tell you. Whatever your need is, you come and pray as we open up the invitation.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.